Well, good morning, Mr. Ramsey.
Good afternoon, Mr. Cook.
Well, I guess if you're in Scotland, it is afternoon. More like,
yes.
What, 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yes, correct.
Right.
Correct.
Well, you know the big news in Scotland.
What's that?
Kevin Scullion got a new car.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Okay, he got a new car. He actually and went to...
His car is so new, we don't even have it in the States. I haven't seen it.
No.
He had to get me a picture. He said, it's a VW Up. I've heard of VW, but I've not heard of the Up. So we saw a picture of that cute car.
He wants to get a kind of spray paint from the local automotive store just to spray paint it a different color already.
Yeah, we should make him a template so he could paint the Geyer Cook report on the side when he drives around. Nah, probably wouldn't do it. Anyway, we were joking. He was, his dog's name is Skid.
Yeah.
So we start talking about analog braking systems.
Uh-huh.
Well, for the car, he's got to get a Skid package.
Very true. Very true.
Well, especially it's actually better known as the anti-Skid package. It's a special liner for the seat, a little screen to keep the back seat separate from the front seat, and on and on. He calls it the anti-skid package. Nothing to do with analog brakes, just anti-skid.
I think he only got ordered a three-door version. He didn't need the five-door.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a five-door anymore because he doesn't.
Yeah, the three-door. Yeah. I was confused by that for a minute, and he says, well, the hatchback. Oh, well, of course.
Yeah, he doesn't need a five-door anymore because he's not had anybody in the back seat for a while and have a car. Yeah.
And then I told him, he was talking about he had to sell his Jeep. I said, well, your daughter's going to buy the Jeep. Oh, no, that'll cost too much. Fuel, you got to get it inspected every year. It's only got about 5 years left on it. I had 5 years. Now, that's a great car. I remember going to high school. I graduated high school in 1969. My car was from 1956. And it was a bomb. My own little bomb. And the reason it was so quick, Frazier, you know much about gear ratios and stuff?
Not really, no.
Well, the car I bought from a girl whose dad was a retired Army major, pretty rough. And her boyfriend, the girl's boyfriend, blew the rear end in drag racing out on the back roads or at the airport or something. Blew up the rear end. Did not want to have to go and confront the ex-Army major he'd wrecked the girl's car. So he went to the junkyard, and the only rear end they had that would bolt right on, 56 Ford, was from an automatic. That'll work. Dad will never know it was blown up. Well, with the automatic, I looked it up, had a 308 gear ratio on the rear end. So that meant in first gear, I could go up to about 35, 40 miles an hour and not strain anything. You know, and shift to second, boom. I could go 60 in second and not be on the verge of blowing it up. And put it into high gear, it never stopped. It just kept going faster and faster and faster. I road raced a guy. Thank God I survived it. Little confession. This guy bought a brand new MGB sports car. You know what MGB is, right?
Yeah.
And he was coming back from Seattle with this car. And I didn't know it was him at the time. So I passed this sports car. Well, we're not having that 56 Ford pass us. So he passed me and starts flying down the road, going really fast. Said, oh, you want to race? Well, I'm in high school. We always are ready to race. So I start flying down the road, 80, 90, 100. We're at over 100 miles an hour. And pretty soon, I don't know how fast I was going because the speedometer was pegged. It was as fast as it would go and record the speed. It's pegged. Past the sports car. Boom. And like the song says, the telephone poles look like a picket fence. Yeah, I remember that line very, very vividly. So I come to find out later, it's a guy that I went to high school with had bought this car. Well, his parents bought it. He said the only time that he could pass me again is if he took it out of fifth gear overdrive, you know, the highest gear that he had. He had to go back to regular fifth, and then he could pass me, also risking his life. Think the good Lord must have had said, hey, those guys down there on Highway 12, you better watch out for them. They're going to kill themselves. So anyway, we survived the trip, and that's why I learned about gear ratios and old cars, and that's enough car talk because the expectation, expectation is today, February 16th, the Geyer Cook Report, B2B Thursday. We better get doing that. So, sorry about that little, my wife calls them squirrel moments. Yeah. She goes, squirrel, and then off I go. Anyway, I got an email from TrustGuard, and TrustGuard is a way to make your site secure and safe and all those kind of tips they can give people. And a web developer, you want to subscribe to that. So if you're not up on trust-guard.com, get into their blog and start reading that. The blog post they had linked to a Search and Land article, local SEO 2017, right now, this year, 5 simple ways to dominate local search. Ah, I can hear the wheels turn and clear from here. The guy's in, hey, I'm in local search. I'm a service provider in Edinburgh, Scotland. Tell me more. Okay, we will. Number one, title and meta description are still important. Make sure that your title and description, like your description, I'm sure says company that likes to clean, since that's your tagline. But be sure of that. Make sure that each element, each time that you index something, that you're using the right title and the right meta description. Okay. The next, online directories and citations. According to Google, roughly, I don't know how they figure this stuff out, but roughly 4 out of 5 consumers use search engines to conduct local searches. Really? I'm going, well, where else would you look? If you're not going to look in a directory or a search engine, how are you going to find anything? You could walk to the corner and look for a sign, but maybe Edinburgh doesn't have a sign, so they just got search engine indexes. So as part of doing that, make sure that your business directories that are out there that may have a local business entry that reflects your company, that you claimed it, that somebody else hasn't claimed it and posted it, whatever they want. Now, as part of that, a big one in that is Google My Business. A long time ago, they had local search separate. Then they changed it into Google Maps. Now it's Google My Business. It's a directory, but it's, as the show notes say, and I should say, you can get to the show notes if you go to HTTPS, theguyrcookreport.podbean.com. One part of having a co-host in your headsets, you can hear everything you say. It's messing me up. So, Google My Business, go to that directory. The link is there. Make sure that you've claimed your company's entry there. And, little pearl in the oyster, Bing Places for Business was started. Gee, I wonder where they got that idea. And it's free. And you can give yourself incredible exposure by getting into that Google and that Bing local search. Okay? Now, as you know from using, I think, what's it called? Gumtree.
Yes, Gumtree. Yes.
Gumtree is one of the places where people can leave a review. Like Edinburgh Dusters came to clean my oven. Good blimey, they did a great job, because that's how they talk over there. And 7 out of 10 customers are likely to leave a review. And that number is even bigger if you exceed their expectations. Like if you say, yeah, I can come clean the oven. Well, maybe you'd clean the oven and iron the drapes in the kitchen or something. Exceeded their expectation, they're going to brag you up. You're going to get another review of your business, and it's probably going to be a good one. And last on the list, use the local structured data market. And I'll give you a quick, you've heard the word schema, right? Like you've heard me talk about open graph tags. Well, yes. Schema is structured data that you put into your source code, because it helps the spiders and the web bots better understand, better determine what your website content is about. They have a testing tool for such, and let's go look. So if we go to this site, gosh, sure. Who's that guy? Guy Cook Online Services blog. Hey, that might be the showings for this episode. So we got to go back into this show notes, and we're going to say, I want to go to the testing tool. And if I'm thinking about it, I'll open it in a new tab so I won't have a puzzle. And there's a structured data tab. I go to the other one that's the blog. I do a control C, copy that, and I paste the full URL, not the relative URL, right. The full absolute loop with the HTTP or HTTPS, as it is in this case, and run the test. And what this does, it looks at all of the source code and that URL and says, hey, is there any schema? Is there any structured data CAD code that's going to help the searching? Hey, there is. There's the H entry. And I'm sorry, I don't know what the, I think H entry is shorthand for hypertext entry. If it's something else, tell me. Tells you the organization. There's a code you can put in for that, and it'll tell you the website. So let's look at the organization and Bazinga. There it is. You get the URL, which is the canonical link there, mm-hmm. which is this also going to give you these other ones that are same as. See that?
Right. Yes.
So same as for Edinburgh Dusters, another link that's about you would be your Twitter link or your Facebook page, etc. Oh, yeah. And so you want to put all those in, and it's very important, because if you make the job easy for that web bot that's crawling your site, he's going to go back. He's going to say, right. Hey, I liked going to edinburghdusters.co.uk because it was easy for me to understand what it's about. So if you do it, or you have a webmaster that does it, ask them about getting the schema code, because it's important, especially in local search. Because if you've got your name, address, and phone number in the organization and you put it in your schema, that's going to help you one heck of a lot in your local search efforts. But before you do that, if this is your first day with the Geyer Cook Report, if it's not, forgive me, but I'm going to say it again. The planning session guide, that brain food that I've inspired people with many, many times. This first came to being years ago, but it still works. And recently, I've updated it and added some more features. And let's go see what those are. And click on that. This is part of me bragging about my site being so fast. And there's the planning session guide. Wait, there's more. The new part are these inspirational comments, I guess, is 6 things to consider when you're building the site. Did you develop a conversion focus web strategy to promote your business? Like, does the site, and maybe it's just a landing page. Maybe the landing page says, hey, I want you to go to Gumtree and write a comment about Edinburgh Dust. Okay.
Yeah.
So then all the other ones are no brainers, like design it so it's professional, engaging, matches your brand vision, so forth.
Usual stuff. So, yes.
So when you get to the show notes, go to that Pearl, the planning session guide note, and it'll look like this. When you're in the show notes, you're going to see it just like this. And then just go to that link and you get her done.
Cool.
And a big thank you to the patrons. In order to be able to ramble on and have these squirrel moments, I have to have patrons. And we've started. We had our first patron. Hopefully we'll get more. And to be one, simply be my patron on Podbean. A little note about Podbean, and we'll talk more about this on Monday. Recently, I read an article that talked about Podbean and how good they are. How many active users a month do you think Podbean gets, Fraser? I know you have a site there. How big?
A few thousand, maybe.
Yeah. Half a million.
Half a million, wow.
Yeah, 500,000 every month. So thank goodness for way back when, beginning of January in 2016, when you said, yeah, you might want to take a look at Podbean. And I'm glad now that I did. Even gladder.
There we go.
And so that being said, I'm talking about show notes. There's a shout out there for Edinburgh Dusters. You may have heard of them. Name might have come up in conversation.
So some random cleaning company.
Yeah, it's the company that likes to clean. They're in Edinburgh, Scotland. So if you're there, and you might well be there. You know, I looked at the stats for the Guy R. Cook report. And believe it or not, I was amazed. The number one country, and I think it's because Kelvin Fagan, my co-host, usually, yes, who's out ill, the number one country for viewers, listeners, for the Guy R. Cook report is in England. So, bazinga, that Edinburgh Duster thing works. No, it's not. I said number one. Number two. Number one is in America. You think it would be. Australia. Wow. I think once I had a co-host from Australia one time, and he gave me enough visibility that it's 37%. So I'm going to have to work on my Australian accent because nobody can understand me. Good night, mate. Anyway, thanks to Eileen Smith, Basic Blog Tips. She told us about Screencast-O-Matic, and gosh, what a great tool. And Friends Just Chatting, it's a group on Facebook because they might be on appear.in, but by the time you hear this episode, they could be somewhere else. So you look for them on Facebook first. And, you know, I should put their graphic. I'll put the little graphic in the screen, just like I did with the Guy R. Cook report.podbean.com. And then you can look for that brand. Okay. A new thing, speaking of branding, and this has to go with more about Monday's episode. The Guy R. Cook Report, you can now find on Reddit. Because I'm huge in Australia, huge in England, I had to do Reddit. And so if you go to this button and click it, and then bazinga, you'll go to the branded page, V-Domain Hosting. That's a corporation I have. And it's from Guy R. Cook. So it's under the rest of the story. And all of the episodes that we do here will be there.
Okay, brilliant.
So what's the latest things in I forgot to turn off the screencast. In terms of Fraser Ramsey and what you're doing lately, And feel free to have a squirrel moment. We're doing it, you know.
Yeah, we are. This is going to be one of the longest.
But that's all of the speed for today. So what about your Africa Scotland thing? How's that coming together?
Awake Africa Scotland is we've had to change the date just due to the fact that the project has grown so much, and what we're trying to do has it's just so vast, and basically we're holding off for the date for the moment. We're currently at the tail end of the script, and once we've got the script done, we'll be able to establish all the characters and the kind of people we're looking for when it comes to auditions, etc. Also, after that, we're at the venue. Takes a bit of time because obviously, depending on the type of venue we're using, we do have a venue in mind, a better one than we were thinking of just of recent. And the aim is to, when you're having to process something, you need an entertainment license, and obviously that takes time because it has to meet the criteria for obviously health and safety, etc., and the usual kind of jargon when you're having an event, a theatre event. So that's what we're doing at present. So we're kind of, it's processing, it's going in the right direction, it's going at the pace it needs to go. We are connecting every day. We're kind of at least trying to reach out to people and then bring people onto if not to the team itself, but maybe to be involved in some way or form, whether directly or indirectly. So we are building this project, and a lot of project to make projects work and to be perfect, you have to just keep plugging away each day and to build on it each day. And when it happens, it will happen because we want it to be as perfect as possible.
Right.
So actually,
and you can see there on the screen share that I just checked. I've got the link up in the screen, and we're showing people what to expect when they log into awakeafricascotland.co.uk. And there's a post right there. It says coming soon, the new date when they finalize that. The fight against human trafficking and so forth is exponential. It's only going to be bigger and bigger.
Yes.
So if you're looking for a new project, there you have it. And so on that note, I guess I better do that dance called wrap up the show. Thanks to everyone that's listening today. We'll see you again tomorrow for the Friday wrap up of the Guy R. Cook Report. And as I say at the end of every episode, it's wrapped.